Managing our finances, well, obviously it's an absolute must. There's a fine line between red and black. And when we're living with our finances constantly in the red, hey, that's a problem. Yet fewer than 40% of people have a budget. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to be chatting about developing your own budget with my special guest, Ross Buttonshaw. We're on a bit of a journey together this week on the program, trying to put in place in our lives a practical guide to managing our money. And you don't have to be a certified practicing accountant to figure out that if you spend more than you earn, that's going to become mildly problematic at some point in our lives. When I was young, whenever I do a when I was young story at the dinner table, my 20-year-old daughter rolls her eyes into the back of her head as if to say, "Ah, here we go, another when I was young story from Dad." Anyhow, when I was young, my parents did something really crazy. They actually used to wait for this. They saved money. They put aside money each week and had savings as a cushion for the so-called rainy day. Pretty old-fashioned concept, that, saving. These days, most people live in the red, not in the black. And when I was preparing for today's program, my guest Ross Buttonshaw, the Australian director of Christians Against Poverty, shared this fabulous quote with me from Charles Dickens' classic, David Copperfield. Listen to this. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, 19, 19 and 6. Result? Happiness. Annual income, £20. Annual expenditure, £20, ought and 6. Result? Misery. That about sums it up, doesn't it, Ross?
It does. It does. You know, if we do something every week, over and over, it will have a result. If your budget is in the red, say, like you mentioned, by a dollar a week, then that's $52 you'll be behind at the end of the year. Now, that sounds like a very small figure, but if you expand that, like we're saying, if we do something over and over, if we go behind every week, then over a year it'll make a big difference.
I guess we all have limited financial means. I mean, some people have more money than they can possibly spend in a lifetime. God bless them.
Yep.
But that's not most of us. It doesn't matter how wealthy we are. There are very few people who have all that money. So given there's a limit, a cap on what we can spend, I guess it then comes down to our priorities, doesn't it?
It does come down to our priorities, and we have to establish what our priority is. Now, there's certain things we have to have in our budget. Mm-hmm. We have to pay for in life. That would be considered priority type things. We're talking a house, you know, if you're renting or whether you're buying. Mm-hmm. Those payments have to go every month. If you've got a car you definitely need for work and to get your family around, it's very much of a priority. And there's other things which in this day and age are priorities, even just having the phone on and paying your electricity and your water and your gas, all sorts of things. These are what we'd call a priority. When it comes to those things, we have to have them in our budget.
Tell me, what is a budget? What's the role? What's the purpose of a budget?
Purpose of a budget is really just a plan of, and a future plan of what you know is going on in your finances. So understanding what's coming in versus what's going out. It's really a financial equation of your finances.
And I guess the purpose is to make sure that expenditure doesn't exceed income, firstly.
Exactly.
And secondly, if we have priorities in life, part of my priority is obviously looking after my family, but part of my priority is giving to God's work. So if we have priorities, we can actually think about how we implement those financial priorities.
Well, it's a decision-making tool as well.
Okay.
You can't make decisions without information.
Yep.
And if you're just going through life guessing what's happening, then there's a certain uncertainty of what am I really doing? But if you have it laid out, you can then understand and make decisions that are educated.
Yeah, the other thing I discovered in doing a budget, because we run a household budget in our home, is you look at an expenditure and you go, gee, that looks expensive. I wonder if I could shop around and get that cheaper. Gee,
yes.
My car insurance looks expensive. Gee, why is my electricity so expensive? Are we using the air conditioner too much? It actually forces you to go, ooh, I'm not sure I'm spending my money the way I would like to spend my money.
Well, when you measure things and you put it down on paper, you can then make decisions. And that's what we do. If you don't know what things cost in life, you tend to not worry what they cost. Now, people with loads of money might be a bit more like this. They might just be, oh, well, I don't really need to balance it, so I don't care care, so I'll
but that's
just,
not me
I'll
and
pay.
That's not you.
No, and it's not most people.
Yeah.
And so most of us need to look and see whether we can save money in different areas. So it does make a big difference if you take that across a whole year.
Okay, tell me, what do I do to create a budget?
First thing you need to do is, okay, you've got your income and expenditure. Mm-hmm. You need to put down all forms of income and all forms of expenditure. Mm-hmm. There's many places you can download these tools. Everyone's budget's different mm-hmm. because there's lots of different ways people spend their money. But I would bring it back to a common denominator. And when I say that, I mean, is it monthly, mm-hmm. so or fortnightly or weekly? Mm-hmm. You have to understand how you spend your money and mm-hmm. bring it back down to a common frequency. Mm. Let's just use a month, for example. Establish how much it costs each month. Mm. And you might have some costs that are over a year. You need to bring it back to a monthly cost so that you can understand if you're earning your money, your income monthly, then you need to know how much of your monthly income has to go towards a yearly bill. Sometimes people come unstuck with their budget is that it's the longer term bills. How do you save for a longer term bill? How do you save it all?
Yeah.
And it's also with budgeting, taking into account everything. And having a bit of a contingency.
Yeah.
Okay, so these are some of the important things as well. When we do a budget, are we accounting for the things that crop up all the time but we can't really measure?
Mm.
And like you're saying savings, some people call it a boiler fund. That's an old term mm-hmm. For if the boiler goes.
Yep.
So putting money aside for those things that crop up, are we budgeting for fixing the car when they invariably break down?
Mm.
They do, don't they? Cars are terrible money pits.
Yeah.
But if we're not putting something aside for that, even looking after the house, if you own a house, you know, houses cost money for upkeep and so on.
Yeah.
So the real challenge is taking into account all the different areas that crop up, and also the real challenge comes if you get close to your expenditure going above your income.
Yeah.
But if that happens, then it's decision time. Then you have to start looking at ways you can juggle things and cut things and do things cheaper or earn more income. That, you know, these are all things when we talk to people, we talk through all these, you know, maximizing your income, reducing your expenditure. There's only two things you can really do.
That's right. It's not rocket science.
No.
You either earn more money or you spend less money.
Or a combination of both.
Or a combination of both.
Exactly.
That's right. Interesting. For me, when I do my budget, I have my fixed costs. I know the things that actually have to come out every month.
Yeah.
And then the other things are then discretionary. Mm. And then I can make decisions about that discretionary expenditure.
Yeah. It's right. It's getting the things in the right place. Many people come to us in financial trouble. You know, they're getting chased for debts.
Yeah.
And these are debts which are we'd call unsecured. Mm-hmm. But often the mortgage is behind.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most important areas. See, we've got to get our priorities right in life, and mortgages and those important things where if you get kicked out of your home, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Or just say we're in a really cold environment, winter, you're not paying your electricity, then getting that cut off is very important to avoid. So these are priorities we've got to get right, and then we can build our life around what else is available.
It's amazing how effective budgets can be. A simple budget, doesn't have to be bells and whistles, a simple budget can be so effective in helping us turn around our financial situation.
Very, very effective.
Yeah. Thanks, Ross.
Thanks, Bernie. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Money has a grip on many a person's life. Instead of being a faithful servant, it becomes a brutal master. Jesus spoke more about our attitudes towards money than on any other subject because he wants to set us free from that. And that's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application e-booklet. It's called Money Matters, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you make sure that your wealth becomes the faithful servant it should be, rather than the brutal master it can be. And you know, at the end of each chapter, you'll find some life application questions to help you think through and apply God's word right into the realities of your life. To request your free copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com. You'll see that free offer right there towards the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time tomorrow with a different perspective.